You know, as a preacher, as a pastor, you're always wanting to know in your heart that you have the mind and the heart of God whenever it's your turn to share. And this morning, I was so grateful because I felt like God has really been speaking to me all morning long for you. And whenever Pastor Josiah got up just a few moments ago before announcements and began to exhort us and began to pray over us, everything that he encouraged us with and everything that he prayed really is exactly what I feel God put in my heart for you. This morning, I want to talk to you about a subject that I've entitled, When Pain and Purpose Collide. When Pain and Purpose Collide. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles this morning, to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. The Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And for those of you who are maybe going, where in the world is the book of Habakkuk? If you just go to the Gospel of Matthew and you turn five books left, you're going to find the book of Habakkuk. So go to the Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of your New Testament, go five books left, and you're going to find the book of Habakkuk. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to begin in Habakkuk chapter 3, but I want you to keep your Bibles open to the book of Habakkuk because really the entirety of the message, we're going to be going through all three chapters and reflecting on some of the things that God is speaking to us from these three chapters. Habakkuk chapter 3, we're going to read verses 17 through 19 as we begin. Here's what Habakkuk says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's and makes me to tread on high places. When pain and purpose collide. Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for the opportunity to share your word with your people this morning. Father, I am praying in the next few moments that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be our portion. Father, that you would speak the things to and over our lives that you find necessary for us in this season and necessary in preparing us for the seasons that are to come. Father, I believe you've spoken to me, and today I'm just asking for the clarity and confidence to be able to speak this to your people. God, give every one of us in this house the ability to see, to hear, and to receive everything that is in your heart for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, part of the Christian experience is learning to navigate and even appreciate seasons where pain and purpose collide. Seasons where you thought you were exactly where God wanted you to be, doing exactly what God asked you to do, but it's painful. It's living for God, but having to navigate things like the loss of a job or a loved one, the challenge of marriage or raising a godly family, unexpected health crisis and scares, bouts with unexplainable fear or anxiety, maybe even being in ministry, really doing your best to serve God in your fullest capacity, but experiencing things like betrayal or loneliness. You know, navigating pain in purpose is exactly what Habakkuk was feeling about 25 or 2600 years ago. Unlike most Old Testament prophets, Habakkuk is more of a dialogue between the prophet and God than it is a message from God to the people. Now, as we're about to find out, there's certainly a message in this book for all people, but that message is born out of Habakkuk's prayer closet. It's born out of Habakkuk's personal wrestlings and dealings with God. What we know about the man named Habakkuk is that he likely served as a contemporary to the prophet Jeremiah. meaning that he would have witnessed the nation of Judah to which God called him to minister. He would have witnessed this nation in just about a 30 to 40 year time span go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. Spiritual revival and reform under King Josiah, quickly followed by spiritual lethargy and rebellion, to eventually that spiritual lethargy lowering the walls of Judah's defenses and allowing for the rise in power of their enemies, the Babylonians. And finally, having to witness Judah's ultimate defeat and downfall beginning in 586 BC. And it's these realities, the downward spiraling of the nation, both physically and spiritually, and God's slowness in acting, that's beginning to frustrate his heart. I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 2, and I want you to see how Habakkuk begins his prayer time with God here in the book. This is how he begins his prayer. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? How long shall I cry to you violence and destruction, but you will not save?" In other words, God, where are you and why are you allowing this? Why does it seem that you're still and silent whenever I really need you to act and to speak? It's a person who's going through a season that is beyond understanding, walking through moments of our Christian experience that inspire more questions than they do answers, facing circumstances where dark and difficult is easily observed, but good and godly is not. Habakkuk is looking to heaven during one of the most difficult, tumultuous seasons of his life, and he's going, "God, I thought we were your people. I thought you called us to this place. I thought there was an anointing on our lives to bring your name to reputation among the nations. I thought your hand was on our life for power and for glory. Why the trouble?" And not only the trouble, but why are you doing very little, if anything, about it? Why does it seem that we're not just dealing with hard things, but it seems like the more we pray and the more we look for answers, the more despairing and difficult our circumstance and situation actually becomes? That's what Habakkuk is beginning to pray in the first four verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. And some would say, you know, Habakkuk, you can't pray like that. God's not going to hear you with that kind of an attitude. But can I just say this morning, I beg to differ. Because once God begins to respond, yes, he challenges Habakkuk's misconceptions, but what becomes clear is that he doesn't ignore Habakkuk's pain, nor does he express disdain toward it. He actually permits Habakkuk's humanity and doesn't spurn his hurt. Can I just say this morning, God can do more with strugglers than he can pretenders. God can do more with strugglers than he can pretenders. He's not afraid of the honesty and the struggle of our hearts. It doesn't offend him, nor does it turn him away. The first point that I want to share with you this morning that I feel God's placed on my heart is this: be honest about your struggle, even when it's painful. Number one, be honest about your struggle, even when it's painful. God's not surprised when it's hard for us to reconcile where we are to where we want to be. He's not surprised whenever we struggle to make sense of his work in our lives. He's not surprised whenever we're slow in exchanging what we believe is best for our lives for what he has determined is best for our lives. He knows we are but dust and at times a mess, yet he still loves us and he still desires to speak over our lives. Look at what God says to Habakkuk in verse 5 of chapter 1. God responds to Habakkuk, and he doesn't rebuke him per se. He doesn't scold him or shame him for the struggles of his heart. Here's what he says. God says, look among the nations, Habakkuk, and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. In other words, Habakkuk, I am working. It's just hard for you to make sense of. I'm here and you're there, and sometimes you just can't see what it is that I'm doing and what I'm trying to actuate on your behalf. You know, maybe it's not exactly what Habakkuk wanted to hear in response to his cry, but at least God was speaking. Can I just say this morning, a hard word from God is better than no word from God. A difficult word from God is better than no word from God. He cares enough to say something, even if it's not what I want to hear. Habakkuk was frustrated, and he's even making false assumptions about the character and the activity of God. But what I want you to see is that although he was wrong in his assumptions, he was right in his posture. Though he was broken and bewildered, at least instead of searching for answers around him, he's looking for answers above him. Look at what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1, God speaks to Habakkuk. Habakkuk still doesn't fully understand or even appreciate the fact that God is speaking, but here's his posture. Verse 1, chapter 2, the beginning of it, he says, I will take my stand at my watchpost, and I will station myself on the tower. That is, I'm not going to budge from the place of prayer. I'm going to continue to look out, Habakkuk says, for what God is going to say to me. Can I encourage someone this morning? And this is my second point. Keep looking to heaven even when answers seem delayed. Keep looking to heaven even when answers seem delayed. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. We know it well. He said, I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Here's what the psalmist understood, that when we look to heaven, heaven responds. Maybe not always with what we want, but with what we need at all times and in all places. Look at how heaven responds to Habakkuk in verse 2 of chapter 2, the next verse. The Lord answered me. After I positioned myself in the place of prayer, I kept looking to heaven. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. In other words, Habakkuk, I want other people in the future to be able to understand who I am and how I work. So the things I'm about to speak to you, I want you to write them down in the pages of a book, even though you can't fully make sense of them or understand them. Look at what God says in verse 3. For still, the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow or confusing, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. In other words, Habakkuk, there may be some slowness in what I'm doing, or it may seem that I'm slow in acting here, but there's a certainty in it. If there's one thing you can count on, Habakkuk, it's that I'm always at work, no matter what it looks like or what it feels like. God is correcting Habakkuk's assumptions that just because you can't make sense of what I'm doing doesn't mean that I'm not working at all. It sounds a lot like what God already spoke to Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 1, and it is. Because most of us don't learn the first time, and so God has to speak again. I don't know about you, but this morning I am grateful for the speaks again moments with God in my life. the moments when I was slow in believing or cooperating with God's word over my life, but God was faithful and gracious enough to speak it to me again and again and again and again until finally he brought my heart into a place of submission and surrender. I don't know about you, but usually I don't believe it the first go round. I don't understand God's word the first time he speaks it, but I am so grateful. If there's one thing I've learned in my Christian experience, is that God is patient with me and God is serious about bringing me to a place to where I finally and fully believe him and his plans and purposes for my life. I'm grateful for that this morning. Even a prophet who should have been the one guiding and directing the nation had questions and concerns, and God goes, I understand your humanity, and so I'm going to preach to you as many times as it takes, reminding you that I'm God and I don't change. And even though you can't make sense of it or understand it, Habakkuk, I am present, and I am presently at work on your behalf to do something in and through your life that will bring glory to my name. That's his word here. Here's God's word to Habakkuk. It's this, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes this morning. Here's God's words to Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 2. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. Don't base my posture toward you only on what you can see in the natural. Number three this morning, the main point I want to give you, third main point is this: embrace God's plan even when it's painful or confusing. Embrace God's plan even when it's painful and confusing. Here's what God says to Habakkuk in verse 4 of chapter 2. He said, Habakkuk, the righteous, those who believe in me, those who walk with me, they have to learn how to live by faith. They don't live only by what they can see or make sense of. They live by faith in a God who transcends sight and understanding. A faith that says, even though I can't see, even though I don't understand, I trust in who you are and I trust in what you're able to do. You know what true faith is? True faith is letting go of my plans and grabbing a hold of God's plans. That's faith this morning. It's letting go of our own ideas, our own dreams, our own ambitions, our own plans. It's letting go of how we thought things were going to work out for our lives and trusting that God knows what's best. Here's the beauty and the power in letting go of our plans. It's when you let go of yours, you make room for God's, and God's are so much better. There's a risk in letting go. Letting go means I'm not in control. Letting go means I can no longer be the Lord over my situation. Letting go means I have to trust that something and someone that I cannot see in the natural is actually going to come through on my behalf, carry me through, provide for me, lead me, and give me everything necessary I need whenever I get to wherever it is he's actually leading me. It's scary to trust. It's scary to trust. And this is where remembrance becomes key. When we're in a season where it's hard to trust God because of what's unraveling, when it's hard to trust God because of the things in our life that seem to be spiraling out of control, remembrance is the key factor here. Remembering who God has been and remembering what God has done as proof for who he will be now and what he will be for us in the future. As Pastor Josiah already said this morning, he's the great I am, present and powerful as he was in the last season, in every season. Remembrance is key here. Now, maybe the expression of God's power doesn't look the same in every season, but the essence of it will be the same because it's the same God. I want you to see, and I just want you to reference this. We're not going to read it, but if you're taking notes, you can reference chapter 3, verses 3 through 15. Because here's what Habakkuk begins to do after God says, Habakkuk, I know you don't understand. I know it's painful. I know it's hard to make sense of why you are where you are, but I want you to trust me. I need you to live by faith. Habakkuk takes God at his word, and what he begins to do in chapter 3, verses 3 through 15, is he begins to recall to mind some of the things that God has done for his people in the past as proof for what he believes God will do in the present and in the future. He reflects on the opening of the Red Sea. He reflects on God's power being demonstrated at Mount Sinai. He reflects on Israel's conquest of Canaan and how God gave them victory over enemies that they really didn't stand a chance against. What Habakkuk is doing here is he's fighting to bring his heart to remember that history testifies that God has an ongoing pattern of rescue and deliverance for his people. That it's not just something that God is asking him to believe in the moment. It's something God is going, look at my track record, see who I've been and what I have done, and use that as a catalyst for your faith in the present to believe in who I am and what I will do now. That's what Habakkuk is doing. He's fighting to believe God, making these confessions of faith, even though his heart is slow to believe it. And I think there's this moment in the middle of Habakkuk chapter 3 where Habakkuk finally goes, God, based on who you've been and what you have done, I can bet on who you will be and what you're going to do. Maybe darkness and difficulty, maybe it's just signs that you're setting us up for victory. Maybe it's just a sign that you're doing something significant and profound in my life, because when I look back at history, what I see is that every time your people got into trouble, every time your people got brought into dark, difficult places and situations, you were not far behind, coming to rescue and save and deliver and to give them a purpose for what they were walking through. Every one of these dark, difficult places and situations were the avenues through which you glorified yourself in the earth through the lives of your people. And maybe if that's what you've done in the past, maybe that's what you're doing for us in this moment. Number four, and it's my final point this morning, I want to encourage you with this. I want to encourage you to celebrate God's goodness even before you see it. Celebrate God's goodness even before you see it. That's what Habakkuk begins to do in chapter 3, verse 17. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, this is where we began this morning, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, though it seems like nothing positive is happening in my life, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice because I know who you are. Faith this morning says, I believe and I rejoice even when I cannot see. Because my faith and my confidence is in him. It's not in stuff and it's not in seasons. And then Habakkuk makes this statement in verse 19 as we get ready to close. He says this, I want you to hear this. I want you to see this. Verse 19, he says, God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me to tread on high places. Habakkuk says, until things do change, God gives me feet like the deer. What does that mean? What's the significance of that? You know, as an avid deer hunter, here's what I know to be true about deer. They have an ability to navigate difficult terrain graciously and confidently. Deer move confidently and stably where humans would normally stumble. Steep hills that would take our breath away. Thorny bushes that would tear us to pieces. Rocky terrain that would cause us to lose our balance. Deer navigate it easily and gracefully. Flat, fruitful ground is not a necessity for them. It's just a luxury to them. Can I tell you this morning? God has so empowered us by the Holy Spirit that flat and fruitful ground is not a necessity for us. It's just a luxury. God can and does allow us to know that kind of terrain, flat and fruitful in certain seasons, and praise God that He does. But even when He doesn't, it doesn't mean it's over. It's not an indictment on us. It's not proof that He's forgotten or forsaken us. He's equipped us to live there. He's equipped us to navigate those kinds of hard, difficult places and seasons. Can I just say this morning, pain and purpose are two things that can be true at the same time. And sometimes the two are working together, even though we don't value it or appreciate it. But what God's promise to us is that when these two things, when they collide, when pain and purpose collide, something beautiful and something lasting is produced in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. Something of heavenly value is experienced and is seen by the world around us. It's not that we avoid these seasons, but that when we have to navigate these seasons, God gives us a special grace that what would take out and destroy most people in our world, it doesn't for us. What would cause most people in our world to crumble, some kind of a way actually strengthens and purifies our faith when it's all said and done. I don't know how it happens. I just know that according to Scripture and my own life experience, that it does. You know, about 150 years after Habakkuk, the Babylonians, the enemies that Habakkuk was so distraught about 150 years after he writes, they're finally defeated. Israel was eventually set free. Jerusalem was eventually restored, and the glory of God eventually returned. Eventually. It took longer than Habakkuk wanted, and it was painful getting there. But eventually, God gave them a testimony of His faithfulness and of His redeeming power. And it's going to be the same for each and every one of you in this room this morning, no matter what season you're trying to navigate right now. As painful as it may feel, as difficult as it is, hear me. The end of the story is not going to be death or despair. The end of the story is going to be, I know God is faithful, and I know He's good. I know it. Stand with me all over the house of God as we get ready to pray. There was a man by the name of Horatio G. Spafford who lived in the late 1800s. He was a Chicago lawyer, but he was also a devoted Christian. In 1871, Horatio suffered major financial loss in the Great Chicago Fire. And so he was looking for a restart for he and his family. And so in 1873, he sent his wife and four daughters ahead of him to Europe by ship to where they would start afresh. They would start anew. However, on this ship, his wife and four daughters, they ran into tragedy about halfway through the trip and collided with another vessel, and their ship actually sank in the Atlantic Ocean. History tells us that all four of Spafford's daughters died in that shipwreck, and only his wife survived. His wife, when she finally reached England, sent him a telegram containing only two heartbreaking words. And those words were this: saved alone. I'm the only one that made it off of the ship and out of the shipwreck. As Spafford, just a few days later, sailed to join her, as they were crossing the Atlantic, the captain informed him whenever they reached the area where his daughters had gone down with the ship that day and lost their lives. And history tells us that in that moment, pain collided with purpose as Spafford began to write the words of the song that we now know, "It Is Well With My Soul." As they crossed the spot where his daughters had lost their life, here were the words that Spafford began to pen on paper. He said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Out of his pain came purpose, not just for people in his generation, but for millions upon millions upon millions of people through the centuries. To this day, struggling, hurting, grieving people go to this song to find life and encouragement and hope. All I'm here to tell you this morning is exactly what God told Habakkuk. Though it seems that I'm slow in acting, though it's hard to make sense of what I'm doing, I'm at work doing something. And the end of the story is going to be my faithfulness and my power. Pain and confusion is not going to be the end of the story. Purpose and clarity will. That's our eternal future. Father, I thank you with all of my heart this morning for your goodness. Father, I thank you for your power. Father, I thank you for the way that you speak to us, God, in times when we need it most. Father, I pray that you would take the words that we've shared today from the book of Habakkuk, and I pray, God, that you would use them to find a lodging place in the heart and life of every person in this room and every person who's going to listen to this online. God, only you know where people are this morning. Only you know what it is that they're struggling with. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you would minister by the Holy Spirit today. God, minister to the hurting place. God, minister to the confused mind. Minister to the person who feels overcome, God, with loss or confusion or grief. Father, minister to them, God, first of all, of your abiding presence, and number two, of your unchanging purpose for their lives. Father, I thank you that even when pain and purpose, they do collide, Father, that you give us a special measure of grace to be able to continue to move forward. God, thank you that you don't leave us though we're confused. Thank you you don't spurn our prayers because they're doubt-filled. Thank you that you don't ignore us because we're frustrated. You're a good Father, and you're moved by the things that move us this morning. And so, Father, I pray every person in this house would sense and would feel that fatherly affection and that fatherly love today. In Jesus' name. I just want to encourage you, if you need a moment with God this morning, I'm going to invite you to this altar. I know myself and many of the other leaders would be delighted to be able to pray with you. But if God's using this word to speak to you, wherever it is that you are, whatever pain, difficulty, maybe even tragedy you're walking through and experiencing right now, but something this morning spoke to your heart and you go, "God, I want to believe this with all of my heart. I want this to be my portion." We're going to begin to worship, and you can find a place in the altar, and we're going to meet you here, and we're going to pray with you this morning.